IVM.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to a brand new podcast called The Sponge Podcast. This is a podcast where we're going to be talking to author Ambi Parameswaran about his awesome new book, Sponge. In the book, Ambi tells us about the stories of people who he has worked with and the lessons that he's taken from the various people who he has worked with over the years. Ambi, why don't you walk us through the first story, the story of the shiny new car?
Okay, yeah, thanks. Thanks, Amit. So this is a story going back to the year 2004 or 2005. It's about my interaction with Mr. Ratan Tata. You know, you go back to 2004, 2005. That was a time when Tata Motors was a very awesome, strong car company, mm-hmm. right? Maruti was big, but the number two position was actually a close fight between Hyundai and Tata Motors. Tata Indica had been a very successful launch. Mm-hmm. Then later Tata Indica V2 came out, which turned out to be a hot seller. And then that was followed by Indigo, Tata Indigo, which mm-hmm. was India's largest selling sedan, a very successful car at that. And in 2004, 2005, we were getting ready to launch the station wagon version of the Indigo, which is called the Indigo Marina. I mean, the story behind the brand name is also interesting because...
So let's hear it.
Okay, so there was another name which has been kind of finalized, and we could not get, I mean... Tata Motors could not get the rights to that name. So on a particular Sunday, I get a call from my client Rajiv Dubey saying, look, we're thinking of this brand name. It didn't work out. We need a brand name. We think it's a station wagon. So it should be a cool, I mean, it should be an easy name, weekend kind of a name. Can you think of something? And I don't know, you know, I've grown up in Madras, right, Chennai, and I grew up at a home which is pretty close to the Marina Beach. So one has spent many, many evenings roaming around Marina Beach. So I said, what about Marina? So he said, Indigo Marina. I said, yeah, Indigo Marina. He said, hey, that sounds like a cool name. No, let me fly it past the chairman and come back to you. And the next day we had the brand name, Indigo Marina.
That is a fairly interesting and fairly quick decision.
Yeah, but my boss has never forgiven me for, you know, plugging my hometown. But, you know, Marina it was. And we were launching Indigo Marina,
right,
which is a station wagon version of the Indigo. Mm-hmm. And the launch was, I think, in the evening at 7:30. And I get a call from the marketing head of Tata Motors around 12:30 saying, look, where are you? So I said, you know, I'm in the office. And my office was in Nariman Point. And so he said, can you go to NCPA? NCPA is also in Nariman Point. Right. It's pretty close to my office. So I told him, look, it's only 12:30. Where do you want me to go to NCPA? You know, work is happening on the stage and... we'll not be, you know, not be ready till 3 or 4 when we do a proper dry run. Mm-hmm. So he said, no, I think the cars have come and Mr. Tata is going to be coming to NCPA. So I said, Mr. Tata is coming to NCPA now at 12:30? He launches in the evening. Why right. is he coming now? So the marketing head said, look, I don't know. I think he's coming there. You better land up. Mm-hmm. I said, what about you? Aren't you coming? So he said, no, I'm stuck in Andheri. I can't come. You know, if I leave now, I'll take an hour for me to get there. So you please land up there. So I said, okay. I went to NCPA and outside the Baba Theater, here was a car parked. The Indigo Marina was parked. And there were two engineers who had come with the car from Pune. They were giving it some kind of final polish or whatever. And the car looked pretty interesting because it looked like almost it had been an electroplated car. You know, mm-hmm. it looked shiny. And I went up to them and said, you know, guys, do you know Mr. Tata is on his way? So they said, yeah, we knew he will come. And I was about to ask them, what do you mean you know he will come?
Right.
By then, Mr. Tata's car stopped, Tata Savari, and he got down. And I kind of moved back and he walked up to the car, said hello to those two engineers, and he went around the car. And he must have spent about 5 minutes going around the car, looking at it from all angles. And then he gestured to me. I walked up to him and he knew I was from the agency. And I said, so I'm so-and-so. So he said, yeah, I know. How does the car look? So I said, look, car looks very nice, sir. So then he said, look, this is looking nice and, you know, looking good to you? I said, yeah, it's looking good. What about, you know, and he pointed out in small area, one of the doors. So he said, you know, can you make out this little slightly different patch here? I said, no, I can't make out the patch. okay. So tell me, what is the event plan? So I said, you know, we're going to plan, have the car parked on stage. So he was particular. He said, is the car going to be parked in front of the stage or at the back of the stage? So I took out the diagram of the stage. I said, look, car is going to be parked at the back of the stage. So he said, why not in the front? You know, so I said, no, in the front, we're going to have some people dancing and stuff like that. So he said, okay, but will the car look good on stage with all the lights? I said, yes, it'll look very good on stage. So he said, okay, good. So thank you. And I moved back. Mm-hmm. He went and spent another 10 minutes talking to the two engineers. And then he left. Hmm. At that stage, I should have probably also left for my office. But I said, look, I want to know what happened here. You know, this whole thing of sponge, which is, you know, find out why, what happened, right? Mm-hmm. So I got out of two engineers and said, look, guys, what happened? Why did he have to come? I mean, he's the chairman of India's largest industrial group, probably has 1,000 things on his plate. Why did he have to drop everything and come here and spend, you know, 1 hour doing this? He could have sent anyone to check the color of the car. Just had to be checked, right? So they said, no, you know, what has happened was something else. You know, Mr. Tata was at an auto show, international auto show, some months ago, and he spotted this car, which was like an electroplated car. And he did his own research, because you can't electroplate a car. You can't dip the car into electrolyte solution and get it electroplated. You can't do that. The way you do it is actually paint it with some kind of a resin and then you wash it off. Hmm. And then you wash it off, it starts looking like as if it is stainless steel. It starts shining. So he had studied how to do it. And he came and met us 3 months ago, told us, you know, this is what we should try for the next car launch. So we tried and he said, yeah, he'll come back a month later. And he came back a month later and looked at the car which we had prepared. It had too many patches. It had a lot of yellow patches. So he said, maybe we can't make it. You know, let's abandon this. Maybe we can't do it. At which stage we said, no, sir, we want to give it another try. So he said, great. You want to try it? You know, try something else. Try it. And we'll see. And 2 days ago, we called his office and said, we've got the car. Now, you know, we're going to come to Bombay with the car. So his office said, yeah, we will tell Mr. Tata. And so he came. And he came to look at the car and he was very happy what we had done. So, which is why he spent. So I said, man, I mean, one is the fact that obviously Tata Motors was close to his heart. He was very involved with the company. He was the chairman of the company. But more important, he was even involved in these small things like, you know, the color of the car, what color should we use. And the third is that he was curious enough to learn about this, to find out how it is done. Mm. And then he spent time with the team telling them how it is done. And then he was there, you know, when the final show was going to happen. So I that was a great lesson learned, you know. Mm.
How would you distill that lesson, right? I mean, like, given what you're saying and given the event that you were at and the way that you saw this whole story play out, what would be the distillation of what you would say that is?
I think, in a sense, it is what a leader is supposed to do. You know, in the modern day, the organization have to learn new things.
Right.
So Peter Senge, professor at MIT, wrote this book called Fifth Discipline. Mm-hmm. Where he talked about the whole new ethos which a leader has to, you know, embrace today, which is to build a learning organization.
Can you tell our listeners a little bit about what that means?
Yeah, of course. So Peter Senge in his book, you know, Fifth Discipline, talks about 5 things which leaders have to do to build learning organizations. The first is, of course, the principle of personal mastery, so that the leader has to be a master of what he's supposed to perform. The second principle is about mental modes, ability to change, to become more amenable to suggestions.
Right.
The third is about sharing the vision with the team. And the fourth is about team learning, which is the leader has to ensure that he interacts with the team and make sure the team is learning continuously. And finally, as a leader, I should look at the whole organization, you know, as such, and make sure it learns. So, in a sense, Mr. Tata saw something new, which is a shiny car, learned how it was to be done, and then went and shared it with his team. And then when the team was making mistakes, he didn't admonish them. He said, let's, you know, fine, you can't do it, no problem. But then they said, you want to try it again? He said, go ahead, try.
Right.
And he was willing to, you know, lend his shoulder, drop everything on a busy day, come and meet the team and say, guys, well done. And I could watch the I could watch the camaraderie between the group chairman and the two engineers that come from Pune who had done this. And I could make out they were literally floating in air after they felt so happy that, you know, chairman came and spent time with them. So it was a great learning for me that, you know, if you want to be a successful leader, one, you need to keep yourself updated all the time.
Right.
And two, you should be ready to share your learnings with your team members.
That makes sense. So, let me ask you this, right? You spent 30 years in the advertising space. Right? You've got a ton of experience over there. You probably have a million stories, which you probably can't get all of them. But I'd like to know if there are any stories that you think would be interesting where you applied this principle that you saw over here, right? This idea that I want to learn new things and apply it to my organization.
So let me tell you one story, which actually is very closely related to Indigo Marina.
Okay. So
we were doing the television commercial for Indigo Marina, and we had got this very young, very talented director, Rajesh Sati, to do the film. And the script had been finalized. It's about a guy taking a girl on a date in a marina, and then he gets out of the car, and she's wondering what happened. And actually, from the boot of the car, which is a huge boot, he takes out a whole picnic paraphernalia. He takes out table, he takes out two chairs, he takes out a wine cooler, he takes out a tent, and he assembles everything for her. And then they have a lovely meal together. So this is the story. And I had wanted that maybe we should have a nice music track.
Right.
And one of the songs, the important thing when you're working in advertising, you need to keep yourself up to date about different types of arts, right? One, music is one, you know. So I told Rajesh, look, why don't we try this song by Louis Armstrong called It's a Wonderful World. Rajesh said,
that's a great song. I love that song.
And that album is also great, right?
I love Louis Armstrong just generally.
Yeah. So Rajesh Sati's question to me was, who's Louis Armstrong?
Okay.
So I said, Rajesh. And then, you know, fortunately,
I'm disappointed in you too.
Yeah. Nobody's come a long way today. So I said, look, here's a song. So I pulled it out of in my iPod. I played it to him. And then he said, yeah, sir, it sounds very interesting. So I said, let's get the song and use the song for the ad. He said, we'll do it. And he got back to me 10 days or a week later saying, look, we have located the album which contains the song, but we can't find who owns the copyright for this song in India. So what do we do? So I said, yeah, what do? We can't use it without permission, right? So he said, sir, I have another idea. You know, I was talking to the music director. There is someone in Bombay who can sing very much like Louis Armstrong, that kind of a voice. So what if I write a new song and I record it, you know, in that kind of voice? Do you think it'll work? I said, it's worth trying because we can't get the real song. Let's do our own Louis Armstrong song. So we found the person with the voice. We did the track and it sounded great. And then we ended up, you know, using that that track for that ad, and it turned out very good. But it was interesting that, you know, I had to, you know, it was not my job to tell the film director what kind of music to have, but we had a great partnership. So one, he was willing to listen to me. Mm-hmm. Two, he was willing to learn, and I was a eager teacher, and we had a great time. The film turned out to be a very good film and successful ad as well.
Yeah.
So when we presented the film to the client felt, look, this voice sounds a little odd. You know, a very gruff voice. You know, Louis Armstrong's voice is like a great, yes, in that kind of voice. So the client said, look, it's a very nice film, beautiful casting, well, car is looking great, but you know, this voice, you know, Ambi, Rajesh, why don't you try something else, you know? So we were kind of heartbroken, and we recorded same music, same track. We recorded a different voice,
right?
And we went and played it back to the client 10 days later. And as luck would have it, the client said, okay, this sounds good. Can we hear the other track you guys played last week? So we said, yes, we are waiting to play that for you. We played that. And then, hey, this one is better, yeah. So we actually went back to the original track. And then we played that. That, you know, turned out to be a good ad. An interesting tailpiece to this story is a month after the ad went on air, I get a letter from a lady from Calcutta. Mm-hmm. And she says, you know, we saw the ad on TV and me and my dad loved the ad. And my dad is a big Louis Armstrong fan. He has every single album of Louis Armstrong, but he can't pick the song. Hmm. So he said, which album is the song from? So he asked me to write to you, sir, can you tell me which album is the song from? So I had to tell her, ma'am, we're sorry, this is a song we created.
But that is clearly a successful execution of what you guys were trying to do.
I think that's the highest compliment we can get, right? Yeah. A diehard Louis Armstrong fan says, hey, this song, I don't have the album, you know, which album is this, right?
Right.
So I think that's an example of how when you work with a team, you need to start helping the team pick up new things.
Right.
And the team should be ready to absorb these new things. Mm-hmm. And then finally, you get some great work out.
Yeah. Awesome. That's great. Are there any other examples you can think of which are similar in terms of where you would tell somewhere? I mean, like you're mentoring people, right, in this kind of context in some ways.
Mentoring, you may call it mentoring or you may call it actually partnering. So,
okay.
So this is another story which happened a few years later, and we had that time got the Tata Docomo business, and my national creative directors is a great guy called K.S. Chax, you know, K.S. Chakravarti. Interestingly, he's also from my school in Chennai, so he's a few years my junior. So we were sitting and chatting, and Chax used to personally handle the Tata Docomo business. And so he was saying, look, you know, the Tata Docomo guys have signed up Ranbir Kapoor, and, you know, I want to do something different, and we're going to take sponsorship or co-sponsorship of the IPL, and that's coming up, and we're going to, you know, he said, Ambi, I want to think of an idea, I want to think of something, and I want to do 45 ads and I want to run one ad every day of the match. So I said, hey, that's 45 ads, do you have 45 days to work with Ranbir? He said, no, I need a format where I can shoot 45 ads in 4 days. So I said, oh, okay, then you'll have to probably just have him look at the camera and talk. He said, yeah, I don't know, we're thinking of something. The team in Delhi, Vasudha Mishra was, you know, the creative director and Jax. So then I said, yeah, you know, why don't you think of making Ranbir Kapoor into Seinfeld? So Jax said, who is Seinfeld?
Wow, when was this?
About 12, 13 years ago.
Wow.
Okay, so Jax, I said, look, Jax, you've never seen Seinfeld? He said, no. And Jax, in my opinion, is a very, very well-read, very wholly rounded, mm-hmm. you know, creative director. He's got huge amount of experience. He's done fantastic campaigns. He's won global awards, you know. So, you know, this was even before, you know, you could get all this stuff on YouTube. So I said, look, you know, there is a source where I can try and get one of the, you know, episodes you know what I mean?
Yeah, so, questionable source.
So we went to that source, and Jack said, look, I want all the, I think, 9 seasons of Seinfeld. And right. He got all the 9 seasons of Seinfeld. And this is on a Friday. And he said, look, let me see if you can do that. And so, and if you know, Seinfeld is probably India's, the world's number one stand-up mm-hmm. comic. His show, Seinfeld, was a, you know, fantastic show. It kind of, he retired when he was at the peak of his career.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was quite, you know, I'm a big fan of Seinfeld. And so I was hoping that Jax would like the serial. So the next Monday he comes and he says, I've seen everything. I said, what do you mean everything? He said, over the weekend, I binge watched all the episodes.
That's kind of crazy.
He's a crazy guy.
I would have to assume so. 9 seasons is like 6 hours a season, 5 hours a season.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's a lot of time.
I don't know how he did it. But he said, done. He said, you know, I've got the idea now. I said, what is it? I'm going to make Ranbir into Seinfeld. So he's going to be a stand-up comic. Every episode, every ad, which is a 30-second ad,
right.
will be a joke, which
right.
he will narrate, which will be about mobile phones, about prepaid calling, about added value services, etc., etc., etc. And he said, done. I mean, boss, you know. So, and you may remember that was a very popular series. We got, I think Ranbir Kapoor was dressed in black, like, you know, Seinfeld is always dressed in black. And it was in a stand-up comic environment. And this was, you know, way years before the stand-up comic revolution took over India. You know, it's about 12 years ago when it was still a kind of a small, you know, phenomenon. But now, of course, there is stand-up comic, you know, in every city, every gully, there is a stand-up comic. But, you know, so in a sense, it turned out to be a great thing. And I think it was fortunate that, you know, great teams work because if you can add value to each other, right? So I was lucky that, you know, Jax was willing to listen and then he took it on and then he's discovered how he could use that whole concept into a fantastic television campaign.
I remember the campaign, actually. So I don't watch much television anymore, but this is something that does kind of stand out. I remember this from back 2009, 10, something like that.
Around that time.
Yeah.
And you know, we were all very thrilled because, you know, a little bit after that, Seinfeld is supposed to come to India. And unfortunately, due to whatever reasons, known best to the powers that be, the trip got cancelled. And
I do remember that. I remember paying for the tickets and getting my refund. Unfortunately, that was the saddest refund I ever received.
So that was sad. But the point, the learning from this shiny new car is that as a leader, are you learning new things, and then are you ready to share it with your team, and is your team ready to absorb these new lessons?
Right.
And then if you can do that, then you can take your company to the next level.
That's awesome, man. Ambi, thank you so much for that, for those stories. I mean, like, I think they were really, really interesting. You know what, guys? Stay tuned for the next episode. We're going to do Sages and Books. That's the next chapter we're going to be talking about. So with that, I will leave you to this.